All right. Welcome back, everybody. Here we are again. It's the Dom and Colin podcast, talking more of MTV's The Challenge. That's right. The season premiere of Bloody Hell. Check that. War of the Worlds 2, hilariously dubbed over constantly throughout the episodes, is upon us. And we are back to break it all down. I am Colin, here with you as usual alongside Matt Liguori and Brian Scally. Liguori, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic, and I will not stop talking about The Challenge on the Dom and Colin Network until I have as many appearances as Johnny Bananas does on The Challenge, which means you're never getting rid of me.
At this rate, you're going to have more appearances than Dom in the next couple of years.
I feel it coming, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Scally, how are you doing?
I am good. Excited to talk about a new season of The Challenge. You already teased it. Was not super excited for Bloody Hell, but I think I'm even less excited for the name of War of the Worlds 2 already.
Do we know what happened there?
No clue.
I have absolutely no idea. I just know that it must have been some kind of like serious situation. I don't know if it was legal stuff or whatever, but that was such a good name, and I was so excited for it. And then when the promo came out for War of the Worlds 2, I was like, you have to be freaking kidding me.
It's just also very funny, as I alluded to once already, that it was clearly called Bloody Hell the entire time out there, and they've had to have TJ like overdubbing it in post.
Yeah, there's a clip of Bananas when he does his, you know, beginning of the season toast to everybody in the house, and he said he literally says like, "Welcome to Bloody Hell," and that was in the promo, so it was very clearly the name of the season for the entire time they were filming.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. But actually, one quick bit of housekeeping before we do. I, as regular listeners will know, am a huge fan of The Challenge at this point. I look forward to these seasons more than I look forward to most of the upcoming Survivor seasons. But I still already spend more time than I probably should podcasting about reality TV. And as much as I would love to talk about The Challenge on a weekly basis, at this point, especially with Survivor coming back, it's just not feasible for me right now. But it is something that we've been asked about a few times at the very least, and some breaking news on that front that I'm very excited to announce now publicly for the first time. You two gentlemen are going to be covering The Challenge on, I hope, close to a weekly basis. Is that the plan at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, things come up here and there. Who knows if it's going to be like a guaranteed, but that's the plan. I think we're going to try to do every single week.
Yeah. It's going to be on this very podcast feed. You don't need to subscribe to anything new. And I will certainly try to hop on with you guys whenever possible, but I'm very much looking forward to that. This is actually the very first, you know, whenever the first episode of that is, presumably next week, it will be the very first time out of like, we lost count long ago, but probably 400 or 500 episodes of this podcast, every single one of them has had at least one of me or Dom, and you guys are going to be breaking the barrier.
Right. It felt weird to like have that idea be thrown around in the first place. But when I came to you and I was talking about how, you know, I was like, I just want to talk more about The Challenge. I don't give a crap if it's on YouTube, this, that, like a podcast feed. I just want to talk about it. We have a lot of fun when, you know, all of us get together to talk about it with the drafts, with Haley, with whatever we end up doing. So I'm just so excited that we're going to be doing it more often. Obviously, you know, hope that you can join us as often as you can. I know that you are pretty overloaded with all the Guatemala of it all and Survivor, but I'm happy that Scally and I are going to have a place to still talk about it every week. And, you know, thank you and Dom very much for letting us do so.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that. So everyone who is interested in this podcast, I'm sure, be on the lookout for that because that will be excellent. I hesitate to say as well because that would make it sound like I'm guaranteeing this podcast will be excellent, which is not a promise I'm willing to make at this point, but we shall do our best. Let's dive into things, guys. I will begin just by polling the room on general thoughts on this premiere. Scally, I'll start with you.
Okay. I liked the premiere. One thing I thought that they could have done better, just to get out of the way, is I think that they really kind of assumed you had seen a season of The Challenge, at least one before. Whereas I felt like last season was a really good introductory point for people. I feel like this season, like, you kind of needed to know. There wasn't a lot of like, this is who this character is, this is who this person is. But as a very like longtime fan of The Challenge, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed having that 90 minutes.
Yeah, I was blindsided by it being 90 minutes because I'm a very uninformed challenge viewing casual, and that was a lot of fun, even though a solid 45 to 50% of the back half was commercials. I don't know what changed, but MTV on my DVR has this new feature where you can fast forward and it will block the commercials out in a different color, so you can visually see how much is the show itself and how much is commercials. And very close to half of the back 45 minutes of this episode was commercials. But there were some very solid, long blue chunks in the beginning that I'm sure made the time all work out and made the back half need to be loaded with commercials. Anyway, Ligori, where were you on the premiere overall?
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I remember just I was watching the beginning of it. I was like, wow, I feel like we haven't had any commercials just yet. And I was watching, I think it was Bananas, was on Instagram Live last night, and he was talking about how cool it is that now they can have almost the entire first hour of the show just commercial free, showing you everything. It's kind of annoying that they have to pack the commercials in at the end, but I don't know. Hard to tell which I would prefer. I guess I have to see more of this in action. But the premiere I thought was fun. Nothing, you know, that blew me out of the water. It kind of feels like this, like it never stopped. I mean, we talked about in the preview in the draft about how it's a very similar cast, like it's almost the exact same with you know, this season has a couple new rookies, a couple people dropped out, but it still just kind of feels like we're in the same exact universe as we were last time. Turbo just won, it feels like yesterday. So you know, here we are, new season, similar cast. I'm excited for what's to come. I thought the premiere was pretty good, and you know, something that somebody on this panel has been requesting for a very long time, teams are back, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And I will say I'm excited for teams. I've been ready for it for a while. I have full faith that this is going to break up into individuals at some point, but I'm excited to see a team dynamic for, you know, once. And if it doesn't work out, then that's fine. Go back to pairs, go back to smaller teams, individuals. But it's been years and years and years, and so let's mix it up.
Yeah, well, I want to get into the format momentarily, but let me just wrap up on the format and thoughts overall with first asking, is it 90-minute episodes every week this season?
Yeah, it is every single week.
Wow. What a time to be alive. And the only other thing I wanted to say is I enjoyed the premiere a lot overall, although I would probably say that it was less exciting than literally any episode of the previous season. Just thinking back to what a hot start that one got out of the gate with Hunter and Ashley showing down in the very first elimination. This felt to me, at least by the end, a lot like the early episodes of some of the weaker seasons, where it almost feels like the elimination itself doesn't even matter. What difference does it make which of these two, who's inevitably not going to win, is eliminated now or is eliminated in four episodes? But still very optimistic for the season going forward. And let's talk about just the format shift. Even though it is War of the Worlds 2, it seems like, at least at this point, a very different game than last season. Although, as we touched on already, Scally, it sounds like having a big team challenge, I know, is something you've been hoping for the entire time that we've been podcasting. I feel like it's been that long since we've seen anything like this. What are your initial thoughts on this format?
Yeah, I could even do, you know, with maybe like Cutthroat had three teams, maybe four teams, but I'm excited for a big team challenge. It was a staple back in the day. It's basically what they did every time. We really got locked into like a bunch of seasons where it was pairs, 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 and it was so dependent just on who you got paired up with. So I was excited to see, okay, when we get these big teams, how does, you know, what is developed into a more strategic, more competitive game, how does that play out in this format? I'm a little worried based on everyone we know being on the US team and everyone we don't know being on the UK team, that it could lead to a little bit of disinterest on one side. So basically half of the weeks of the first, you know, stretch of the season, give or take. But I am excited to see it in concept.
Yeah, Liguori, what do you think about the return of big team challenges and also this storyline that they're splitting us down the middle based on U.S. versus U.K., even if it seems like that may not last for too long? Are you interested in that kind of angle that they're taking there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I think they've been dying to have this happen. They introduced the Big Brother people, the UK people. We've been talking about this for a little while. And now it seems like we're all in on UK people. We are like, they're here to stay. They make great television. Like there's really not a whole lot of misses from the people that have come over from the UK. There have been people who they've brought over that we haven't even been able to see back yet because I don't know if there's just no room or what, but everybody that they've brought on from the UK so far, I feel like, has been a justifiable casting decision. And the fact that there is enough of them now to make up the entire half of the cast that, you know, now it makes sense that they wanted to do US versus UK. I'm hoping that even if we continue to have this many people from the UK on the show, it's not going to continue being this US versus UK thing for the rest of forever. I mean, you know, the couple of seasons back, we had the trilogy that we didn't even know was a trilogy at the time, but they were like, oh, hey, here's this final part of the trilogy that you guys were all totally expecting. Obviously, this being War of the Worlds 2 kind of leads you to the question, all right, is next season just War of the Worlds 3 and this is just another trilogy? I don't know, hard to say. But in terms of it being a team challenge, I understand what Scally's saying about how there's plenty of rookies on the UK side and we don't want to completely just forget about the UK people, but I still think the cast is pretty locked and loaded and I'm ready to see what they can do.
So I'm generally someone who would always prefer as close to like an individual game as possible. And I probably wouldn't have really cared or noticed if there had never been another giant team versus team challenge. But I am optimistic that this one will be entertaining. And a big reason for that, and forgive me because I'm still in the very early stages of trying to figure out how all of this is going to actually work in practice. But it seems like when you can switch teams if you win a challenge, and also the tribunal can put in someone from their own team, like you even winning the main match doesn't guarantee you safety unless you're in the tribunal. How much do teams really matter, Scally?
I think I'm really struggling to see a point where many people are throwing in their own team members in general at all. And also, how many people are switching teams? I mean, you have to be in a really bad spot on your team in order to, you know, jump ship like to what is set up as like you are an outsider no matter what. If you come over here, like you're not from this country. So in the way that the challenge is set up, I just feel like you're going to be thrown back in over and over and over, regardless of if you switch team or not. So do I think that those are going to come into play super often? Like probably not. I think that having them there, though, is good for the health of the show and the possibilities that it opens up.
As someone who hasn't seen one of these big team versus team challenges since whenever the last one initially aired, how does it work in terms of balancing the numbers? Or are we going to get to the point, like if the U.S. wins the first three challenges, are they going to be sitting people out at some point?
Yes. So, I mean, it was to the point where back in the day, I forget exactly which season, it would take me a second, but we ended up having like five men and one woman running the final against two women in like one season. So if it was to go all the way to the end, it could get very much lopsided. I don't know that they are sitting out people based on gender or anything. They just might have a harder challenge like ahead of them based on the number of people. But I have faith that we're not really going to be getting to the point where it is so unbelievably lopsided that it makes it not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely think that the fact that this twist at the end where, you know, if you win an elimination, you get to switch to the other team, I think that's, you know, definitely going to help, whether it's production kind of like pushing someone to the other team or just, you know, Bananas gets kicked off early again and he realize, or not gets kicked off, say he wins an elimination, I guess I should say, and he realizes that he should bounce to the other team because that's the best television, he knows what he's doing. I feel like there's definitely going to be more of a balance than there probably could have been in one of those past seasons where this wasn't a twist that was in play. If you get thrown in, you know, in if there is a rare case where somebody gets thrown in from their own team, if they win that elimination, better believe they're going to the other team, and we'll kind of keep it balanced out here. So I'm not too concerned about it.
Yeah, I am. You know, I at least have, after watching the premiere and before asking Scally this question, had anticipated that at least a couple people would probably switch at some point, or at the very least, people may throw in someone from their own team if there was, you know, just a conflict that could clearly never be resolved. But I guess it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world if it does stay basically along team lines for the time being. But LaGoria, are you on the same page in thinking that they're eventually going to split to individuals somehow?
Honestly, I have no idea what to think, because I feel like we kind of thought that there was going to be a shift last season, and then the shift that came wasn't what we were expecting, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I feel like they have no reason to not be in teams all the way to the end, but, you know, they kind of go with whatever format I think works best for what they're doing. I mean, I don't want to have the tinfoil hat on and say that they're changing it as they go. They probably aren't, but honestly, I just have no idea. I don't know what they have planned.
Yeah, I would not feel comfortable making a hard wager in either direction.
For sure.
Yeah. But my other big question about the format this season is, what was even the point of having these reinforcements, and why not just put CT and Ninja on the US team and Turbo and D on the world? I guess they're calling it the UK team, and that's why not, probably.
Exactly,
it should just
be
war. It's War of the Worlds. Why not just US versus the world and split them more naturally, more fairly, and just play a first challenge for whatever the normal stakes are going to be?
Yeah. If you remember, I mean, I think when we did the draft, we were talking about how it kind of seemed like three of the four of these people were either last minute decisions to be cast in the first place, or maybe they were involved and just they were like the last people that the people who find out who's on the cast found out were there, those being D, Ninja, and CT. It seemed like Gus was on, but then it was actually CT. It seemed like D and Ninja weren't even contacted to be on the season, and then maybe people dropped out and all of a sudden they were called in. So I don't know if they were planning on having it just be UK versus US, but that also can't make sense because of course Turbo was going to be there.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe they were just going to do Turbo and CT as reinforcements or something. I have no idea. I think the only reason that they did it this way was because not everybody is from the US or the UK, being like those three people, and they had to find them a home in a more natural kind of way, I guess.
My main objection was just, it seems like pretty much every single time the way this is going to play out is the stronger team is just going to get even stronger after the first challenge.
You're saying that adding Turbo made them stronger? Are you kidding me? Just kidding.
No, it seems like they're going to get the better guy and better girl every time, and it's just going to make it even more unbalanced. But, Scally, what did you think of the way these reinforcements were implemented and that big dramatic tension of choosing CT or not for the American team?
So I think this is 100% just a mechanism of, oh, crap, we have to have Turbo on this season. How are we going to do this? I think the better way of doing this is put CT and Ninja on the US team and say, oh, crap, there's an imbalance. We had to bring in some reinforcements for you. Here's D and Turbo. That's it. No one will question it. It's the challenge.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest way of, like, just bring them in. You're on the UK team. We're lopsided. Here you go. We'll make it up to you. But in terms of the drama of not having CT on the US team, I did enjoy it. It definitely made a good storyline through the episode, and I think will continue to be impactful. I'm wondering how much are these UK, especially the newbies, going to be embracing CT and the legend that is CT and saying he's a valuable member of our team, or are they going to be, I guess you're probably scared to go against CT, so you probably don't want to throw him in. That's probably going to be the only thing saving him. But for D, like, I don't know you. I haven't been hanging out in the same circles as you. Like, go in. Sorry. And so I'm a little bit nervous. Not that I'm, you know, D's biggest fan, but if you are, I would be nervous for her.
Mm-hmm. It seems like CT keeps somehow finding himself in these horrible spots for the beginning of the game, where he's going to leave potentially earlier than he generally would be expected to do. But I was thinking to myself, in along the lines of just like feeling bad for CT and the way that it was all clearly going to play out. Of course, the winning team is going to pick Turbo. I also got the impression that it seemed like CT was at least aware that that was a possibility, and I was wondering if that was why he was so hamming up his support for the American side, Liguori, like doing everything he could to somehow get picked over Turbo.
Yeah, and like he said, those are his friends. He was excited to maybe play a season with them. It seems like he, like you just said, he has had a rough go for the past couple of seasons, whether he was he had Veronica by his side, and then last season he had Julia.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, Liz was the first one out, not Julia. So yeah, Julia by his side, and they didn't really go too far in the game. So I don't know. I was surprised to see that he was actually on the season again. And I think at this point, they recognize that, you know, if CT keeps going home early, that's just bad. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to, like, because I was surprised that I thought that that reinforcement spot would have been somebody like Bananas, maybe, like, just because they would want to give him that extra boost of, all right, well, you know, you guys have been seeing Bananas flop a lot lately. Here's him in a different kind of role. But I guess it also makes sense for CT to be coming in to just kind of like a special situation where even if he does end up going home early again, at least he had like more of a storyline. And it wasn't just like, oh, here's the old man that's just coming back for no reason and we keep sending him home early. So I think I'm happy to see that he has something going for him, I guess. I don't know.
That was the exact thought I had about Bananas is I actually thought it was almost obvious to put Bananas as the other kind of captain,
right.
Not only from a perspective of making it more fair in terms of who gets which person on which team, but also I feel Turbo would still get picked over Bananas, and it would be a really interesting dynamic, especially after a few seasons in a row of things really not going Bananas' way to nearly the extent that he was used to, at least for quite some time a few years ago, if they gave him, especially based on how good he seems to feel about Bear at this point, like this whole kind of British army. And I feel like Bananas would have been someone who would embrace that role of trying to like mold these British kids into his own little assassins.
Right, and would the UK people have offered him up and said, like, actually, we don't need him? Or would they have used him and said, all right, well, he's going to tell us information about those guys. We want to keep him around. I think it would have been a great spot for him. But I don't know. I guess, like I said, I think CT might have needed it a little bit more.
Is CT the front runner to change teams?
Is CT going into an elimination? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Is I was about to say, the more I'm looking at it, the more I actually think this might be the best spot for CT. Because if I am, you know, basically anyone on the guy's team, but, like, if I'm Bear, if I'm Theo, if I'm, like, any single person, Rogan, like, am I wanting to go against CT? No. So I'm not going to vote him in. And then the U.S. tribunal is also likely not going to be throwing their buddy CT in. So CT could be walking through half of this game knowing that no one's ever really going to be looking to vote him in because they have to go against him, or his friends are voting for the other person.
Mm-hmm. What did you think along format lines of the way this tribunal worked? And we may see a different format as soon as episode 2, but it seemed like that like voice of the people thing was potentially something that would be like a recurring part of this format, and then one person would pick the other two people in the tribunal. It seems at a certain point like it's going to be impossible to get anything close to a consensus if that remains the case, though.
Yeah, 100%. I was confused as hell when it was just like, all right, Jordan's screaming about everything, so he's going in and he's going to bring in two friends of his, and that's how we're going to do it. So I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be some kind of vote when things get more serious to pick the tribunal or what, but there was a lot of things like that and just the whole way that they're going to pick who's going in that I feel like can't be as simple as they're making it look right now.
I would say I think this tribunal is coming, and this is another reason why I think that they'll probably move to individuals eventually, is, and watch, they don't, and everyone who's spoiled on the season is laughing at me, but I would say that they'll probably end up utilizing this in the back half of the season, and it's like, oh, we don't really want to introduce this, you know, all the way at, like, at the end, and so let's go ahead, bring it in here. What mechanism can we use to, oh, agreement, all right, sounds good. And, you know, it's I don't think it's going to be so impactful early on.
Okay. It's definitely causing waves in our draft system and trying to figure out what points we should be giving to who and whatnot. Because we were talking about this earlier, and I was like, Scally mentioned, you know, should tribunal people be getting points? And I'm just like, well, they didn't do anything. Like, they just kind of were nominated to be in the tribunal. Did they get extra points just because nobody objected? I don't know. It's a weird kind of situation.
I like that you can't be in back-to-back tribunals this season, though.
Right. So if the team has, what, 16 people on it, then you kind of have to feel like a decent amount of people on the team are going to end up in a tribunal at one point or another, I think. I don't know. It's just – it's so
– it seems like if we see this smart group of even four people come together who can repeatedly get two of them into a three-person tribunal – just kind of alternating which two it is or mixing up which two it is, that could be a pretty easy way of controlling the game if enough people are behind you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe that's one of the plans Cam is already concocting over there with all the pre-gaming she was doing, she was talking about. Maybe.
Yeah, well, speaking of the draft, it was a pretty packed premiere, and there wasn't a ton of kind of introduction for a lot of the new characters, but it was a big night for everyone who went in the first round of our draft, as I think it was you, Ligori, who noted earlier, and we've talked about Turbo and the big tension there about which team he would go to, and believe it or not, he was not super active in the drunk fighting game, at least to this point, but the other people that went in the first round were Laurel, Jordan, and Wes, and each of them, I thought, got a decent amount of content here. So while we're on this tribunal and the way this first challenge played out and this first nomination played out, I guess let's get into Jordan here. Which of you picked Jordan with your first overall pick, or was it Haley?
That was me.
What did you think of Jordan and his – maybe it shouldn't be such a surprise, and it's just because I come from the Survivor podcasting school of do anything not to stand out early. But Jordan seemed to be really active and aggressive this whole episode and was the voice of the people when it came for tribunal time. What did you think of seeing Jordan back here, Scally?
I'm excited to have Jordan back on the season. I like having a very high competitive field. I don't love Jordan personally, but I mean, this is the Jordan we saw, you know, pulled every single, flipped every single board just so he can get the double cross and send himself into an elimination against Bananas. So it, immediately, yes, I was not thrilled that he is jumping up. I'll be the voice of the team out of everyone. But then I did very much like how he let Wes be the mouthpiece. And as soon as someone walks away, like, oh, like, you're bad. Like, he's not going to necessarily step up so aggressively as, you know, Wes might.
Mm-hmm. Ligori, where were you on Jordan? How long has it been since we've seen Jordan?
His last season that he was on was the season that he won, so season 30, him and Camilla took home the win. No.
Okay.
That was a while ago.
Okay.
No, he took home the win in Dirty 30. CT came in second.
Oh, Camilla, of course.
Won on the women's side.
You're forgetting Derek.
Derek came in second. CT came in third is what there I meant to say. That's correct. I've had it in my head that CT came in second. So who knows how long I've been thinking that. But anyway, so yeah, happy to see Jordan back. It's kind of funny because I have been saying that I'm happy to see Jordan back. And then there are still people who are kind of remind me. They're like, oh, no, but Jordan's still kind of a garbage person. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then he was back on the TV for like 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe he is a little annoying. I don't know. So he kind of got on my nerves here and there. Nevertheless, I'm such a big Tory fan, and the two of them together are just the cutest thing in the world. So I'm happy he's back. He's a big personality on the show. He's not afraid to play the game hard, which it felt like last season all we saw in terms of aggressive game players was really kind of just Wes. He was running the game. He had one of his best seasons, and now we're seeing Jordan come in, and right off the bat, he sees what Wes is doing. He knows Wes's game. He wasn't even there last year. I'm sure he was watching, but he knows what to be looking out for, and he's not going to let Wes just slip by. You know, they're on the same team, but I'm really excited that there is some opposition to Wes, because it's surprising that people want to work with him still. I was afraid of picking Wes at all, honestly, going into our draft, because I was like, all right, this was a big Wes season. People saw what he was doing. The reunion had a lot to do with Wes, you know, taking the newbies and wrapping them around his finger. And I was like, he's going to have a hard time going into bloody hell. And then Jordan comes in and exactly, you know, makes me feel justified in everything that I was feeling. So really excited to see how this plays out between those two guys.
Scally, are you satisfied with having spent your first overall pick on him at this point?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, like, the season you're forgetting was Jordan won on a broken leg, which was one of, like, the hardest finals. So I feel very, very good about my pick, because ultimately I am seeing he's not going home very easily in elimination and has great win equity should this go down to individuals. Mm-hmm. I feel great about Jordan.
Yeah, I do now remember that final specific. I remember nothing leading up to the final, but I remember the final being edited in such a way where they really dragged it out and made you wonder who the winner would be. But on the men's side, it was very clear that Jordan just thrashed everyone.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I said, he had one of, like, these scariest accidents on the show. He literally has a skydiving crash landing and then wins after breaking his leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was good stuff from Jordan, this certainly in that final and then this week as well. I really liked how both he and Laurel, as part of that tribunal, really did everything they could to let Wes tip his hand and then completely disregarded everything he had to say. I thought, or at least the way it came across on TV, that was really well executed also.
Yeah, if Jordan and Tori can both make it far into this season, MTV gets exactly what they paid for. Jordan being, you know, somebody who's willing to play the game hard, like I was saying, and obviously he's really great in almost every single challenge that they put him in, a main challenge, elimination. He's pretty good in everything. And then you have Tori, who's, you know, obviously running the confessionals this season without Devon or Jemmy or anybody around. So I think, you know, if they can go far, we're in for a good season.
Is Tori, I believe her first time around went very far. Is she someone you're considering as in the, like, winner mix, assuming this stays in teams?
I don't see any reason why not, but the field is so – it's been getting so much stronger over the years, and the girls are just – there's so many good competitors on that side. I mean, Kara is still around even though she didn't win last season. You have Ninja, who came, like, extremely close. TJ pointed out that she finished – you know, she was the only female to finish the hardest final that they have had, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know if I have her as, like, even top three contenders, especially with, you know, Laurel still on the board. But I don't see why not.
Yeah, I just have always more thought of Tori as a really good character and confessionalist. But in thinking back to the couple of times that I've seen her before, especially knowing that Jordan is presumably going to have her back this whole time, I feel pretty good about Tori going forward. Scally, what do you think?
If I am looking at a team final, I see no reason why Tori couldn't join, like, the winner circle. I fully capable. She can keep up. We got a little bit tired on her most recent final that she ran, but I see absolutely no reason why she couldn't keep up with the team. She's super likable. I don't see her getting thrown into a ton of early eliminations, especially. But if we go individual, I don't see much equity on Tori's board.
Yeah, I am more or less with that. So LaGoria, let's get into your number one overall pick, and that is Laurel, who is back with us for the first time since when?
since Invasion of the Champions, which was a couple years ago, not too long ago, but she was on that season where she suffered her first and only elimination loss to Camilla, I want to say, and we haven't seen her since then as a contestant on the show, but she did come back like two seasons ago as one of the what were they called? Help me, Scally.
Mercenaries.
Mercenaries. I couldn't get the word. She was one of the mercenaries, and I want to say, was it Ashley that she was fighting against that ended up staying in the game?
I think that she was fighting against Brittany, who put
Brittany,
an impressive battle for someone, Brittany, who probably weighs, you know, 35 pounds soaking wet against Laurel.
For
but,
sure.
You know, they're not going to beat Laurel in a tug-of-war competition.
Right, yeah. So Laurel has still been around, and, you know, she's still watching the show. I know she was on social media very much talking about the show, especially Carr was saying on this episode, you know, Laurel has had some not nice things to say about me. Welcome to social media, Cara, Maria. Everybody has not nice things to say about you and Pauly, except for me, because I'm the only person out there that's still a fan of both of them.
I'm deplatforming you already, Ligori. This your podcast is canceled.
What did you not expect that to be a continuing
I didn't
theme?
Do the math that it was going to be a pro-Pauly podcast, but now that
you signed the dotted line and allowed this on your network. But yeah, and you know, we were talking about this earlier. This they say don't meet your heroes, but Scally and I got to see Cara, Maria, and Pauly live in person.
Oh yeah, I meant to ask birthday. About that. What was going on there?
Yeah, it was a fun time. You know, I saw that was coming up for those who don't listen to their podcast. If you don't, you should. Challenge Mania is hosted by Derek Kaczynski, who we were just talking about a few minutes ago, and Scott Yeager. They do a great job covering the show, and they do a lot of live shows. They do like one a month. It's crazy how many they do. But they were coming to New York, couldn't be any closer to me, and they were coming on my birthday. And I was like, all right, what better way to spend my birthday? And then the guest list was announced. And Pauly and Cara Maria were the two guests that they had. Also, Ruthie from like way back when. If anybody remembers Ruthie, I know I didn't exactly remember Ruthie, but that's not really who I was there for. So I had a great time. We didn't get to see them inside. It was at Caroline's on Broadway, where we've had many, you know, Survivor know-it-alls, and I think maybe the one in the fall is going to be there. And so, yeah, I didn't get to see them inside. We kind of hung around a little bit after outside, and then they came outside. So I went over, got a picture. Scott was there, and Scott and I had just sorry if this is boring anybody, but Scott had just done the podcast with us over on RHAP for Big Brother a couple nights ago. So Scott was standing there as I was getting a picture with Pauly and Cara, and he turns to Pauly and he's like, oh, hey, Matt works for Rob. And I was like, oh, fuck, this isn't good. If you have listened to any Rob as a podcast, you know that there's a pretty good Pauly impression that is done by Rob pretty often. And Pauly very much knows about it. So I thought that I was in major trouble, thought I was going to get punched in the face or something. But turns out that all was fine. And as I very clearly stated to the both of them that I enjoy them and I am happy to take a picture with them. I was fans of them, blah, blah, blah. They didn't hate me, so it went well.
Yeah, it turns out every threat from Pauly is completely empty. So you're in fine shape. Anyway,
that's fine.
Yeah, sounds like quite a treat there. And I guess I'm glad that you finally got to meet in person one of your all-time favorite people in the world. And I suppose you can continue talking about the challenge, but let me say, short leash in that capacity. Anyway, right. Returning to Laurel, Scally, what did you think of Laurel in this premiere and seeing her back in the game?
It was a good episode for Laurel. I was definitely taken aback by the seemingly blossoming showmance between her and Bear, potentially. But I am excited to have her back. Again, very competitive field with Laurel here. She is a big personality. She's not afraid to get in confrontation. Her and Cara have a deep, dark history. So I am excited to see what she brings to the season.
It was a big night for weird showmances, right? Like, if you had said, okay, Laurel's going to get into a showmance and Georgia is going to get into a showmance, it would have taken me infinite guesses to arrive at Bear and Josh as the two guys.
Oh, I would have gotten to Laurel and Georgia before either of the other showmances.
Yeah.
So I was floored that this was what we're getting, but I weirdly might like both of them.
Yeah. And hey, I noticed a tweet by John Densford over last night, and he pointed out that we got through the entire episode without any Paulie, Kyle, and Kara, which was a refreshing change after the entire last season was about them. So to go from that to these two couples was a very welcomed change, I would say.
I came away from this, first of all, kind of like you, Scally, more happy with and invested in these two particular showmances than I ever would have guessed entering this episode. If you said Laurel and Bear and Josh and Georgia are going to hit it off, I got the impression in both of their cases that this could be a lasting thing. And I don't mean like they're going to get married, but I mean for the delay for as long as all parties are on this season, it didn't strike me as people, you know, just drunkenly hooking up on the first night or chasing clout or whatever.
Okay, well, how quickly you forget Bears, but I mean, I don't see anything with Bear lasting, you know, 3 weeks, let alone the rest of the season.
Yeah, okay, that's certainly a compelling counter-argument, but at least on Laurel's end, she seemed to genuinely be into him.
Yeah, I can see this being a fun showmance and then turn into an explosive showmance. I definitely am excited to see how that one develops in terms of Georgia and Josh, something I never saw coming. But I mean, I was just watching some like BB19 clips back, so showing people whatever. And I was like,
why would you do that to anyone?
No, I trust me. I was going through a whole bunch of seasons and I was like, no, not this one. And I was like, I did not enjoy Josh on Big Brother at all, like in the slightest. And I forgot that person. I like this Josh. I'm excited to see him with Georgia. And I don't know how long Josh will be around, so I don't think I'll get sick of this showmance at all.
It was kind of awkward. Georgia was kind of like, yeah, he's nice. He's really great. I'll give him a kiss on the cheek. Oops, he got me in the lips. that was a cute little moment. I mean, that's not going anywhere after like this episode, but fun to fill that 90-minute episode with Josh trying his hardest.
Maybe it seems like Josh killed it just because he did so much better than he ever did with Amanda before.
Good point. And, you know, Amanda was very much, I think she was taken at the, or maybe she wasn't taken at the time, but I think she was taken at the time, as we have, I think, talked about. Amanda's now pregnant. So Josh is not getting anywhere with that one. So I guess why not try it with Georgia?
Sure. yeah. And, you know, just while we're on Josh, it really astounds and impresses me that Josh is still a thing on the challenge. I mean, I remember I couldn't believe when I first heard the rumors that he was in the mix for casting the first time around, but it does seem like MTV has really taken a liking to him, and he, while probably not going to be among the front runners anytime soon, is putting in a solid effort here and doesn't appear to be nearly as bad as he seemed on Big Brother.
For sure. And I mean, I've been kind of in the boat of, I think that Josh is something good for this show. I also am kind of realizing as time goes on that, I mean, they're not too attached to any of these new people besides like just a handful of them. I mean, Kyle obviously seems like he's not going anywhere, it just in terms of the people that they brought in the last few seasons. But like they I thought they had something great with Natalie from, you know, Big Brother, and now she's obviously gone. So I think a lot of it has to do with if Josh does well or not this season. If he goes far and can, you know, put up a somewhat impressive showing, sure, maybe he'll be back next season. But if he ends up going in like the first few weeks, I really wouldn't expect to see him get a call for the next season.
Yeah, I am not sure. See, I can kind of see, and they're not calling her anymore. It's a kind of a weird comparison, but I can see Josh being basically like a male Jemmy in that he's never, ever going to be competitive on the season, but he brings drama. He's entertaining in confessionals. He's a different personality.
Yeah. And while Josh in the Big Brother world has come up, I didn't have many people that I thought were like glaring omissions from this cast, but the one person I found myself really missing was Devon. Is she someone that we are anticipating being on future seasons, or does she seem done with the challenge?
I don't want to talk about it. She's not done. I mean, there was a clip that I just saw on Twitter and Instagram. I had heard about it as well a couple weeks ago. She did some kind of promotion for something, which I really shouldn't have started talking about since I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say. But it was with CT and Jordan and Tori, and they filmed something a couple weeks ago that was just airing. So she's still very much getting calls by MTV and will continue to get calls by MTV. It's just whether or not she says yes. She did say the time isn't right, so I'm not going to do it. I know when to stop. I know when to, you know, take my foot off the gas. So I have to think that this was her decision to say no, and that hopefully, you know, she can't stay away from us for too long, right? Like, we need her back.
I am with that, and hopefully it is not too long before we see Davon again. I guess let's get into the final person who was a first round pick. I guess Haley's first round pick was Wes, who, Liguori, you picked first overall, I think, in last year's draft, and who we saw put on a really impressive performance in War of the Worlds 1, as I guess it's now kind of retroactively known. And Wes obviously came out of the gate guns blazing here once again, and I really liked what I saw, where once they found out the rules, the only real takeaway that I had was that it would probably be good, considering the other team can throw you in, to have people on that other side that are going to have your best interest in mind. So to see Wes be proactive in that field before he even knew that that was necessarily going to benefit him was really, really smart and proactive, I thought. So, Scally, I guess let's start with you. What did you think of Wes and his performance this opening episode?
I would agree, like Liguori said, the reunion was so bad for Wes, where even Turbo is like, can't work with him, like, love him, but like, I can't do it. And so I was not thrilled for Wes's position coming in. I know he said that he's talked to a ton of people preseason. I don't know how seriously a lot of those people are taking it, but it seems like he got Joss and Rogan, you know, on the line, thinking they're not too plugged into what's happening on the challenge on a, you know, season to season basis. So I think it was the right two people to target. Now he just needs to not let his team know exactly what he's doing so they don't throw them in themselves.
Yeah, we saw him, at least as it was presented on TV, kind of tip his hand in the tribunal and get pretty much cucked by Jordan and Laurel when it came time to vote. And I did feel bad for him that they made him vote first, knowing that that was going to be the dynamic. But I guess he kind of walked into that himself. Liguori, I believe you referenced earlier also not feeling great about Wes's chances, just having seen how that last reunion went for him. Has he come up at all for you after seeing this premiere?
How great slash crazy weird was that video thing that they were doing, where it was like the Andy Heron on Big Brother of, yes, everybody trust me, but it was the Wes Bergman, I've contacted literally everybody on this cast before the season, and we've talked about what we're going to do this year. So, I mean, on one hand, it was like, wow, that's, I feel like I've never seen that before. If I have, I'm forgetting it. But also, like, wow, you need to relax because you're coming into this season with everybody knowing your game. So contacting everybody, everyone's going to compare notes and say, oh, yeah, Wes hit me up before the season. Oh, yeah, Wes was in my DMs. You're going to hear from, like, Big T, who we didn't even know existed until you know, a couple weeks ago. Oh yeah, Wes was in my DMs too. I don't know who Wes didn't contact that is a reality star who has appeared on television since 2017. So I like I said, I am a little worried for him, but then again, at the end of the day, if anyone is the man for this job to be this kind of player and still come out you know, unscathed, I think that it's Wes. So I'm not as worried as I probably would be in any other circumstances. I mean, if this was any other person, Wes knows what he's doing.
So one name I would say, I believe, that was not on that list was Johnny Bananas, unless I missed it.
You're probably right about that.
You are correct.
So, because I thought it was interesting, just kind of reading between the lines. First of all, I like that Wes, in selecting his numerous targets of people to slide in, whose DMs he should slide into, that he was hitting both ends of a lot of pairs, including like Joss and Rogan, and a couple other, you know, Pauly and Kara, making it clear that, you know, he's interested in working with both of them and not just one half of a pair that's obviously going to talk to the other one about what Wes has been saying. But I thought it was interesting that Wes seems to be linked up pretty tightly with specifically Joss and Rogan on the British side, and again, to kind of read between the lines, it seemed like Bananas was at least on the lookout for keeping Bear at this point out of the elimination, and I could see that being a really interesting kind of dynamic of having two eventually big alliances kind of split between both sides.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I mean, like we saw last season, Wes threw Bananas in at the first chance he got. So I really don't think there's any like mending fences through a Twitter DM that's going to work. And even if they did, Wes is not telling us and letting everyone know for future seasons that they're capable of working together. So not surprised there. In terms of Bananas and Bear, it was very evident. Like I threw Instagram stories and Twitter and everything else you see like at the last season's reunion, the filming, they're out at bars saying, oh my God, you're the best. No, you're the best. And whether it's genuine or not, like they clearly were ready to work together on this upcoming season. Johnny needs any friend he can get. Didn't know that even before he knows the format, like reach out to these new people because the old ones aren't working out for you right now.
Yeah. LaGuardia, what did you think of Bananas and his, what we got to see of him this premiere?
What did we get to see of him? I honestly,
his new beard comes to mind.
Yeah, I really like have pretty much no notes on that guy. I tweeted out during the episode. I was like, I forgot that Bananas was here. I completely just him, Leroy. I mean, honestly, even Turbo was like kind of quiet in this episode. Not that I, you know, am not thinking about Turbo 24/7 like all of us are. I don't know. I did not remember that Bananas was there. It's easy to forget him with all of these bigger personalities. I don't know if it was on the episode. It's all blending together when you consume all of this like Instagram lives that I know that Colin's watching as well, and the episode within the last 24 hours. But one of these places he was talking about how there's just so much more competition, and he's aware of that, and he knows that you know, he has to step up his game because the competitors are getting stronger, the personalities are getting crazier, and you know, there's probably less room for Johnny Bananas to headline the entire show than there was before. You know, in most seasons with Bananas, he is the main focal point of the storyline, and it kind of felt like that wasn't the case, at least in this first episode. So, I mean, he's there, and he's going to be there until whenever they kick him off again, but I don't know. He's just not as important as he once was. That's the world we're living in.
I did like from Bananas when Jordan was talking with him about negotiating with Wes and being in the tribunal, that Bananas essentially said, just float the name Rogan and just watch his reaction when you bring it up, and that'll tell you everything you need to know. And then we, of course, smash cut to exactly that happening and Wes getting quite defensive on Rogan's behalf. I thought in an episode that was probably lighter than average on the Johnny Bananas content, he still, at least for me, had a pretty solid showing.
Yeah,
for sure.
I can agree to that. And I can't believe how much of this episode, I don't know if this is transitioning, but how much was about Rogan, a guy who was literally not even on his season for more than 5 minutes, which Bananas, I think, was the one who made that joke, or maybe it was Wes, made that joke at the start of the episode. Rogan, you've already been here longer than the last season. The amount of times I have more notes about Rogan than I have about Johnny Bananas. It's wild.
Well, let's dive in. What stood out to you about Rogan in this premiere? Because I am definitely with you that I was not anticipating this being the Rogan show, but there was quite a bit of interesting stuff going on here.
I've been advocating for Rogan kind of quietly since he was kicked off of a season. He did a couple interviews after that happened, and I ended up following him on Instagram, and just I think I've talked about on here about how his Instagram stories are pretty funny. He's a entertaining personality, and I was like, yeah, I think he'd be really fun if we could get him back in there, get him back in front of the camera for, you know, the confessionals. I think he'll shine there. But turns out he's not just being used for that. Like, he's apparently really involved in the gameplay that's going on, or at least what was going on with the preseason gameplay. Him and Joss are an unbreakable pair, is what we are you know, finding out again, if you know, if anybody remembers that or if anybody knew that. So it seems like there might be a lot to watch with those two, and I guess Wes, if Wes is taking them under his wing.
Yeah, Scally, what did you think of Rogan being so active in this premiere?
Yeah, I'm fully for, like, these people that you saw, like, a star, and they go home in the first episode. People forget that Kara went home in her first episode she was ever on, comes back, and she's the female face of the franchise now. So fully in on Rogan being back. I do feel like once he was confronted with Jordan being like, you got to tell me, like, folded immediately, like, you, anything you want, I'll tell you. So I don't think Rogan is necessarily the, you know, second coming of any strategist on this show, but I am enjoying him taking an active part in the game.
Yeah, and in case anyone missed it, he's a stripper.
Well, he did talk. That was the third showmance that we did forget, which the casually exclusive showmance of him and D has already started also.
Yeah, I forgot that I was so focused on him constantly referencing being a real-life stripper that I forgot about the entire showmance angle. That was just the stripper scene to me.
Yeah, and I think D on her original shows was known for, like, drinking a lot and hooking up. And we didn't really see a whole lot of that last season, which I guess it turns out is because she had a boyfriend. But she came in this season saying, I don't have a boyfriend anymore, so I'm ready to have fun. So if D and Rogan are going to be a thing all season, like I said, anything is like a refreshing change from the showmance storylines that we've had for the past few seasons. We need something new, and I'm fine with this one.
Yeah, for D, nothing like being a last-minute alternate to convince you to hook up on the first night with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess let's talk a little bit, because we saw him quite close with Rogan, and it sounds like that will continue to be the case. Scally, Joss is someone I always mentally associate as your boy, just given I think you drafted him like twice, and so for that, to me, that means you are in love with him forever. Do you have any major takeaways on Joss in this premiere? It seems like he could be someone somewhat heavily in the mix depending on how the format continues to be structured.
I don't know about any previous drafts, but I definitely did take him. I took him fifth overall. People were surprised, but I see Joss as being like the most competitive person on the UK side in terms of it can run for days, extremely physical. I don't see who's taking him out so easily in an elimination. He's already hung with the best of the best in Derek for, you know, what was it, 90 minutes at least in a highly physical elimination. So I feel great about Joss competitively. Kind of boring. Don't know that we would have seen him back so quickly had this not required, you know, an even number of UK people event to the US, but I'm happy with him competitively, at least.
Yeah, I'm now looking back at our draft board, and you did, as you referenced, Joss came off the board number 5 overall, and I guess Theo was also in the first three rounds, but he's the only other British person who came off the board that early.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, you know, Theo comes in second. What was it? No, he came in, he made it to the finals and got left on the beach on that last season. So definitely see why he went early. But I think Joss has not really, he probably should have been winning Final Reckoning with Sylvia. And I think people forget about that he is very, very strong in these challenges.
Yeah, there's a strong contingent of fans that, like, consider – I mean, obviously it's hard to, like, take away that Ashley won the money that season and is, you know, the record holder for most money, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the way that all went down with the whole not showing us the times thing and whatever was going on, it just all seemed a little weird. And I think there's a lot of people who genuinely think of Joss and Sylvia as like the winners of that season, because they were right there. They were consistent that whole entire final. And it seemed like the score was so close, or the time was so close between those teams. So yeah, like Scally said, people kind of forget about it, but he was very close to being a challenge champion in his second season. So now he's here for his third shot. I don't blame Scally at all for making that pick so early on, and like you were saying, it seems like he could be very much involved in this season. So you know who, Bananas was the one who made that joke about who put a nickel in Joss, because he's not the most exciting television, but I don't know, maybe we'll see a different side of him with, you know, a plus one by his side being Rogan.
I again am really unclear at this hour on the way that the players are going to choose to approach the kind of strategic angle based on this format of being split team versus team, but with plenty of opportunity for in-team betrayal. But in the dark on that front, I feel like maybe Turbo would be the only person I would be taking ahead of Joss in a last longer for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I think I would. Maybe I'm biased. I would throw Laurel and Jordan in there.
Yeah, there are probably plenty of compelling options.
But that's about it. I mean, those were my top four or five picks on the board. So I definitely think that they stand above the rest to a degree.
You'd be happy to hear my answer is probably Cam, actually, I think would be my number one pick for a last longer. I feel like Cam's always in it till the end. I mean, she kind of dropped. Isn't she not? I mean, she was out a little early with the whole Kaylee thing, but the teams were all really strong in that season. And, you know, it didn't seem like they were set up to go too far. But I think Cam is a pretty consistent end game player.
Yeah, I mean, she really did not. I mean, she didn't make it to the individual portion of last season either. Like we said, Cam, I do think has that potential, but I think she is someone who is tall and athletic, but I don't know how much she's stepped up her working out ever since. So I still don't see her as that end game threat in terms of winning an actual final. If it's a team player thing, then yes. But in terms of individual, I'm not seeing Cam coming in the top, you know, four to maybe even six, eight.
Yeah, I would certainly love for that to be the case. But you know, even as someone who has historically been the highest on Cam out of this whole group, I think I've drafted her in every single season she's been a part of. And I do find her to be someone with a ton of equity to make it to, at the very least, like the mid game. But I do begin to wonder, just having seen her, I don't believe, make any finals to this point or really come too close to a final, if maybe I am chasing, you know, throwing good money after bad in all of these drafts where I just keep taking her early because the one season where she does win, I'm going to be very mad at myself if she's not on my team.
Right. You know what? We give a lot of credit to some of the guys who are, you know, running around the house strategizing, whether it's Wes or Jordan or whatever. But Cam needs to be given the credit that she deserves. I mean, I know that we haven't seen a whole lot, and maybe this is just some past seasons seeing some of the impressive things that she's done playing into it. But I mean, we saw a little bit already with just that short scene in the beginning. Cam talking to Kaylee saying, "I've got my guys. We've got you. Like, don't worry. Like, we'll come together. We'll figure this out. We'll make this work." I have a lot of faith in Cam as a game player. I think that she is, I mean, I'm trying to scan the board real quick. Has to be my number one pick of just female strategists on this season or just in the past couple of seasons. She knows what she's doing. She is a level-headed enough player where she doesn't cause any major waves. I don't know. I remember not being super high on her when we drafted, but I think I'm coming around on that. I really feel good about her just seeing this group of people that are here this season.
I definitely feel very good about Cam's strategic chops. And historically for me, it had been more the physical element of Cam, you know, having a size advantage on such a huge percentage of the women she would potentially be competing against. And, you know, Laurel is here on that and on this season, but I still feel fine in that capacity. But it really has been, I would say, more her strategic acumen that has impressed me these last couple seasons. And I've actually been somewhat underwhelmed with her actual performances in the challenges.
And I would fully sign off on that. Only other person I would say I even look as a competition in terms of the strategic females on the season is Ashley, but she's been clearly neutered by, you know, stealing $1 million, but still good financial decision. So I definitely think I agree with Cam being the best female strategist on this season.
Yeah, you could. I mean, taking the money from Hunter would have to cost her like 7 future wins for it to not be the right move.
Oh, 100%. And that's why I'm saying that I think Ashley back in the day was, you know, pulling things behind the scenes. But I think that, and as where we stand now, it is clearly Cam who has like that on lock.
Yeah, I mean, and Ashley was so reliant on having her friends with her, which, as she noted, she doesn't have this season. Like, she's literally by herself. There's no Amanda, there's no Shane, there's no Sylvia, whoever she worked with in the past. Cam is pretty adaptable. She can find somebody to work with, you know, kind of anywhere she turns. The whole Kaylee thing obviously happened because they were forced together as a team, but it just – that happened so quickly, so naturally. She's just so good at making people feel good about her. There were, I mean, what was going on last season with her and Devon? They were like working together at the beginning of the season. I know it kind of fell apart towards the end, but that just kind of came out of nowhere. She's just really good at making people feel included in the same way that Wes does.
I would definitely agree with that in terms of I think Cam is much more of an agreeable, likable person in general. To defend Ashley a little bit, I don't in seeing that, yeah, she doesn't have her friends around here, but I'm not seeing too many people except Bananas on the board that she really has any strong rivalry with, whereas usually you would expect, you know, a Hunter and or a few other young bucks to be showing up. But I think that she going home first last season has much more of a clean slate than you may otherwise predict.
I can't help but notice, or maybe my memory is terrible, I feel like Ashley has either left in the first episode or gone on to win the season, and I didn't see her leave this week. So
that's exactly what I was thinking. Yes.
Yep. So
she hasn't quit. So
outside of her first season, that has been the track record. So I am very happy to have the winner on my team.
Yes. I feel like our front runner has been right in front of us this whole time.
And that's fine with me. I love Ashley. I will forever stand, and I'm so excited she's here. I did not expect her. I think she didn't expect her to be here as well. I think people were talking about how no one thought she was going to be there. I didn't think she was going to be there, so I'm so excited that she's out there still.
Yeah, I'm guessing we will see more of Ashley in future episodes. A lower key premiere for Ashley than is somewhat standard for her at this point. Ligori, I hesitate to bring this up, but what did you think of Pauly and, I guess by extension, Kara, what little we got to see of them this week?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't a whole lot to talk about. They weren't there. They were, I think Pauly had a couple of confessionals just talking about how, you know, I'm so hungry for this. I want to win. I'm going to get my win. And I, you know, regardless of my feelings for Pauly in general, I've always said he's one of the strongest competitors. He was kind of built for this show. And his win, whether it's this season or next season or the next season, like it's coming. I don't know when. I think he's right there. He came so close last season. Obviously, there was that the purge right before that. If anybody's forgetting about it, he went first in that challenge. And, you know, everybody else got to see what Pauly did. And then they were able to correct it and you know, make sure that they did better than him and make their way to the final. If he goes like in any other order during that challenge, then I think he's definitely in the final and definitely had a shot to compete with Turbo, Theo, whoever was there in the end. I think he could have taken it. So, you know, not a whole lot early, but just like for Ashley, I think being quiet this early on is probably a good sign.
And let me, you know, as much as I've had to say about how easy it is for me to root against Pauly over these last couple of seasons, I agree with you. I think Pauly is in a really decent position to, if not this one, win one of the at least one of these next few seasons worth of challenges.
For sure. Like I said, it's got to be coming soon. It's you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of friends, so maybe that's an obstacle that he has to overcome. I don't know how many people are trying to work with him, but he has proven if you put him in an elimination, he's probably going to win and send you home. So I wouldn't want to face him.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with all of that. I even for as controversial as Pauly is at sometimes, I also don't think Pauly has a whole lot of enemies. And if he can inherit the few friends that Kara has left, then along with his like physical dominance, I don't see any reason why Pauly can't win soon.
Yeah, and we really didn't see that much, at least compared to what I would generally expect out of Cara Maria. I guess she got a new haircut, so that's exciting. But again, I'm guessing there's going to be plenty more to come on the Pauly and Cara and probably Kyle by extension storyline, but I am okay with taking a one episode break after two consecutive years of that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing we were talking about how Bananas was barely in the episode, I think Kara was in it even less. I don't remember seeing her aside from like the 2 minutes of the her and Laurel thing. It's crazy to me how little she was featured in this one.
Yeah, and then just looking through the rest of this list, in terms of people I thought we probably would have seen more of, Zach and Nani both jump to mind. Scally, did anything stand out to you for either of those two?
No, we got a little bit of like commentary from Zach. Honestly, could have forgotten Nani was on the season if I wasn't looking at a board with her face on it right now. Not really too many other people jump out as someone I expected to hear more from.
Yeah, Kaylee and Zahida wouldn't have surprised me if we'd heard a bit from them, but I don't think they got much either.
No, not really.
Zahida's on the season?
Yeah, first of all, forgot that Zahida was on the season, and second of all, forgot that Jenna was not on the season. I swear, I just watched a premiere with Jenna in it.
No, I hate to break it to you, but you didn't.
As much as I enjoy Jenna, I could use the break from Jenna and Zach together. So,
yeah. Anything stand out to you, Liguria, on any of these last couple, like Zach, Nani, Kaylee, Zahida?
No, there wasn't a whole lot going on with them, and I have no idea where any of these people's storylines are going to be going this season, just because, you know, like, where did we leave off with them in terms of, like, over, like, the big picture? I don't know. I mean, Zach's thing last season was that he just kind of left early, kind of because he wanted to, because he didn't want to be there. He had a wedding to go to, if anybody doesn't remember that. He was partnered with Zahida, who, you know, we're talking about in the same sentence right now. So maybe there's some drama that happens between the two of them in the way that there was, like, with Zach and Amanda a couple seasons ago. Or maybe we'll just be blessed with, like, a quieter Zach edit and, you know, not a whole lot of screen time for him. Because, like I said, I just don't know where he fits into all this. He's just, like, If you're ranking by TV personalities with the guys on this cast, like, he's below Sean. I don't see any spot for TV time for Zach.
Yeah. Any of the new British people stand out to you for any reason?
Kind of like Deidris. I mean, he proved himself pretty well in that first elimination. I guess Sean was kind of defeated. He seemed a little bit down and prepared to go home. It was the vibe that I was getting. But I still think Deidris kind of came. I mean, he came out of nowhere. But once he, you know, kind of jumped into the spotlight, he was like, all right, whatever. Here to prove myself. Got the job done. And now he'll make the first decision of the season coming into next week of, will he stay on his team or will he jump aboard to the US side?
Does he have any, is there any chance that he's going to switch sides? It's not like the British people put him in, right?
Right. I would think that he has no reason to change sides. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going on over on that team. But it seems like maybe if they picked him, like, I don't think that Jordan and Laurel just picked, you know, randomly. I don't think they just threw a dart in the board, even though they used the excuse that, oh, he's just another rookie, so we threw him in. I have to imagine that they realized that maybe he's, like, kind of well-connected over there, and maybe that's why they put him in there, maybe hoping that he would go. But I don't know. So that's why I'm saying he's probably one to watch, but yeah. I guess you know, hard to tell.
Yeah, if I'm Deidris, I at least know people on this British side, whereas all I know about the people on the American team is they love throwing in rookies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And poor Sean.
I would anticipate him staying on the British side, although I do continue to hope that at some point we'll see people start to jump ship, potentially once we get, like, closer down to a final. That may become a much more compelling option once the, you know, list of possible people who can even form a tribunal based on not being able to do it consecutively gets shorter and shorter. But, it, you know, that format may be long gone by the time that point rolls around. Scally, any of the British people stand out to you?
There was a quick scene with Jenny saying that, you know, nothing's fake about me. But then also she got into saying, like, she's very competitive. Competition means a lot to her. So one to keep my eye on. I know she competed in a show that was very physical. Big T got a little bit of screen time, but I was not expecting the nickname Big T to be an ironic nickname. So was not expecting someone who is so small in stature. Glad I did not draft based on nickname alone. But otherwise, feel like we've gone through most people. I mean, what do we got? Nicole and Esther left, basically.
Yeah. Any other major storylines that we've skipped over at this point while we're here?
I don't know about storylines. I mean, just while we're talking about Big T, it seemed like there was a connection between Big T and the person who went home this week, being Sean. He said a little goodbye to her on the way. He's like, oh, I wish you the best of luck. So I guess there was something going on there that we didn't get to see a whole lot of, and probably won't ever see again, unless Sean ends up being the Rogan that gets brought back in 2 seasons, and Sean and Big T are the new Rogan and Joss. TBD on that one, but I guess that was something.
I'm looking on the Wikipedia of just the list of players on this season to make sure that we haven't forgotten anyone too egregious, and it does stand out that Sean and Big T are, I believe, the only ones from that show shipwrecked, and they were on the same season.
Yep, they were on the same season, and he won, she lost, and so it was sold as like, oh, Sean is the winner of Shipwrecked UK. Yeah, I think like 11 or 12 people won that season, so it's not too impressive there, buddy. But when you were saying they maybe, I'm giving a basically 0% Sean chance we see Sean back.
That's like if we had Chris Underwood cast on the on season 35, and it was like Chris Underwood, winner of Survivor. It's like, no way, he won that show.
Yeah.
You should watch it sometime.
Yeah, good stuff. Very much looking forward to seeing how the rest of this plays out. Is this supposed to be roughly 13 episodes again? It feels like we've got a ton of people. Are we going back to the seasons that last 8.5 months?
It's possible. I mean, we're in the fall season, and that one was in the spring. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I would imagine that they want to wrap it up by Christmas time. I might be totally making that up. I know Survivor obviously usually wraps up by then, so it would make sense if that's what they're doing. But if that is what they're doing, then it's still August, I think. So we still have plenty of time to go, and that's probably more than 13 episodes.
Yeah, I guess finding out the total episode count will probably give us a bit of a heads up on how many people roughly are going to make this final. If it's like a 7-on-7 showdown, that's going to be a lot fewer episodes than if we're running 3-on-3.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So before we wrap up here, anything that I have skipped over that you feel would be pertinent, any other calls you want to put on the record before episode 2 airs?
Anything you got, Scally? I think
no. I just one of the lines. I'm trying to look through just my notes, even seeing anything I see. Something I liked that was really funny from Georgia's like the strongest alliance I've ever had here. It's like, oh, one season. Calm down. Like, okay, I guess you're friends with Nicole. Cool. So,
I love Georgia, by the way. We talked a little about her and Josh, but to just quickly dive back in on Georgia herself. She really impressed me last season, and I'm hoping that she can become like a staple of the challenge going forward.
I love her so much. I all in on everything you just said. I hope that she does well because, like I said, I just get so worried if people don't do well. I'm like, oh, they're just not going to ask you back anymore. They only want the people who are there for the entire season. I don't know. I don't know why I had that in my head. But I hope that she's able to stick around. I think she's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in here and talking with me about this premiere. And you two, at the very least, will be back next week and all subsequent weeks covering the rest of this season of The Challenge. So really, as I said earlier, looking forward to listening to all of that and seeing how this goes.
Yeah, you definitely will not regret that. I can't imagine anything that any of us will say about Paulie or otherwise that will make you regret that decision.
Yeah,
so,
definitely no disparaging comments coming my way over the course of those podcasts. So be on the lookout for that next week. Until then, Scally, where can people be finding you on socials medium?
I am on Twitter and Instagram, but better for Twitter, at @Brian_Scally, BRIAN_SCALLY.
Awesome. And Ligori, how about you?
I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at Matt Ligori. Not doing a whole lot of Big Brother coverage this summer, maybe some more in September. So let me use this time to, I guess, plug other shows. I mentioned Challenge Mania earlier. I just want to make sure that anybody listening knows that, as much as I'm excited that we're going to be getting to do more challenge coverage, there is still a bunch of other challenge coverage out there that you should be listening to as well. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably have already been listening to the Challenger Wrap-Up with Brian and Allie. Still can't wait to hear what they're doing all season long. And then, like I said, the Challenge Mania stuff. There's just so much good challenge content out there, and I'm excited that we're going to be a part of it. So thanks again, Colin.
Yeah, absolutely. Until next time, I am on Twitter at Colin Stone, and hopefully I will be back in here talking more of the challenge soon. So we will hopefully have you guys back with us whenever that happens. And until then, take care, everybody.